All right, hey, Rav. Oh, let's just review something. I don't know. Someone was telling me yesterday it was hard. Oh, yeah. Where's my pen? Yeah. Oh.
We gotta get these concepts in, because if we don't have this, we're gonna be stuck. There's a difference between a nevela and a trefa. What's a nevela? Nevela is if it's not shechted, but we shechita. Animal is dead, but we shechita. This had shechita, but there's a side problem with the animal, a hole in the lung, a broken leg. So that's why oftentimes you find, though, a woman will call me up with a chicken. The leg is broken, or the wing is broken. She thinks she discovered, like, a trefa. My animal I put back in the shtetl. I told her, with bringing the rabbi's chickens. So I said to her, no, that's not, it's happened many times. So that could have happened a million years after the animal was shafted, right? The animal could be shafted and then made into, you know, put through a grinder. We have it all the time. It's called hamburgers, right? That doesn't make the animal into a trefa, right? So it only becomes a trefa if at the time of the shkita it had a mum, it had something wrong with it, which rendered it unable to live for 12 months. That's the difference between a nevela and a trefa. Nevela had shkita, proper shkita. I'm sorry, that's a trefa. Nevela had no proper shkita. So you shoot a deer in the on a hunting expedition in Montana. That's a nevela. Now, what's the difference? The difference is this is tameh. They're both an iser in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat either one. And both of us say this is tameh. This is ain tameh. Okay. So there's a difference. It's not nothing to do with tumas kahanim, but that's the difference between a nevela and a trefa. That was the mission we saw later on Daf Lamed Beis. So the problem is. The Agamar here says, let's just picture without the whole animal. You have two pipes right in the neck of the animal. We'll leave it like that so we don't get involved with noise or anything. You have a kana and a veshet, which you chef in order to properly make the animal permitted. What if in the middle of the kana, right, the hole, or the one of the, or the veshet, there's a hole? So that would be, that would make the animal a trefa, right? As Agamar here says, if you're shechting with a hot knife and you burn a hole into the cunt of the vesha before the animal's killed, if it happens after the animal's dead already, that's like the woman in the Pesach with a broken chicken arm. That could have happened in the store. Who knows when that happened? That's fine. It happens before the animal's dead, because what happens is the knife is going through, the knife is hot, so it goes through till here. Then all of a sudden it burns these two parts. It shafted, yes, the blade went through first, but then it burns the sides. So that makes it into a trefa. So that's what Ar Gemara says over here, that a hole in the veshet is a trefa. The problem is that Gemara later on said, at least this way Rashi interpreted the Gemara, that a hole in the veshet is not a trefa, it's a nevela. Because you never had proper shkita. You never had proper shkita. Well, why didn't you have proper shkita? Why isn't Agamar correct? Just because I have a hole in the veshet, why should I make it not a proper shkita? Right? It has shkita. Here, you shafted the animal properly. Just as a hole in the veshet. So Agamar says, okay, that's a trefa, right? No different than a hole in the lung. You shafted the animal, hole in the lung, that's a trefa. The Gemara later on says, no, if there's a hole in the veshet, hole in the lung, you're right, it's a trefa. Hole in the veshet is a nevela. Why? And it contradicts Agamar. So you could have said, okay, maybe it's a machlokes asugis or something. We still need to understand why is it a nevela. But the problem is the Shulchan Aruch quotes both. Shulchan Aruch says if you have an animal that has a hole in the veshet, it's a nevela. Never had proper shkita. Then earlier the Shulchan Aruch says if as you're shechting the animal gets a hole in the veshet, that's a trefa. What's going on? So Beis HaLevi says like this, another acronym, soup it up a little bit, they add a little bit onto it. They say like this, the only time is considered to be a proper shkita as if the simanim are whole, intact. You can have a hole in the lung that doesn't affect the shkita, but if there's a hole in the simanim, the kind of the vesha, the windpipe of the trachea, now all of a sudden, that you can't have proper shkita anymore. You can't have proper shkita anymore. Because there's a hole in the kind of the vesha. The only time it's considered to be a proper shkita is if the vesha and the kana are intact. Oh. Otherwise, your shkita is not considered to be a valid shkita. So when you do shkita over here, and this animal with a hole in the kind of the veshet, it's kilu not a shkita, it's like you shot it with a gun. Your shkita is no good because the simanim are not intact. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. Other Achronim explain a little bit more what he means is, because see, if you're going through with your knife over here, right, you're going to go through here, so this part is intact. Once you guys say there's a hole right there, right, I have to make it a little easier. So your knife goes through,
Then all of a sudden, it doesn't need shechita for this little part. Then all of a sudden, the shechita continues.
That's like a pause in the middle of the shechita. The shechita is no good. That's like I was going through with a knife here, stopped to take a cup of coffee, and then kept going. Can't do that. In yeshivas, people do it all the time. They stop in one yeshiva, a cup of coffee next to shiva, right? They call that staying. You stay for a cup of coffee. I mean, if you stop in yeshiva for a little bit.
Anyway, a guy goes through, knife. Oh, now there's a hole. That part doesn't need shechita because there's already a hole. Ah, then it continues in. That's like a pause in the middle of the shechita. So in order for a shechita to be kosher, the condemnation have to be intact. Oh, so that's why if it has a hole in the condemnation before I started the shechita, that's an avela because you killed the animal without a proper shechita. Ah, but Amar Gemara is talking about when you started the shechita, there was no hole. But because you're in the middle of shechting, and as you're shechting, your knife is going to make a hole behind where the knife is. Right, you're shechting over here in Agar Gemara, you're shechting a whole condemnation. But as you're shechting, and you get to here, all of a sudden it starts making holes here because the knife is hot. But that's behind where your knife is. Ah, so your knife, since it's ahead of everything else, all the holes. So the holes happen before you finish shechting, so it's not something that happens subsequently, like a post-mortem problem. It happened before the animal was dead, but it's behind the knife.
So that's like an animal. It had a proper shechita, but it developed a treva later. Chava, we understand now. Very simple, yeah.
What about the difference between it? What's the difference going to make if it's an avela or treva?
Tuma. That's really only it. That's the whole difference. We'll see, there might be other differences, but that's fundamentally, it's only with regards to tuma, yeah. But we would like to be the Shulchan Aruch consistent. Shulchan Aruch says, one is a treva, the same thing is an avela. How could the same thing be a treva and an avela? You know, we have to have our terms straight. We'll see how similar are these two Isurim, what is the relationship between the two. The Rambam was all in discussion about it. Yeah.
I just don't get how there are holes inside the condemnation.
You could have...
Isn't it hollow?
It is hollow on the lining. Inside. On the lining, there could be a hole. An animal won't live too long with a hole in the lung, or with a hole in the windpipe, right? How long would a person live like that? So you could develop such an injury... So such an injury would render the animal a treva because it can't live long with it. But let's say before it died, you shechted it. Yeah?
You can see it before?
No, probably not. But when you finish shechting the animal, they take out the siman. Like after they shech the behemoth gasa, they blow up the lung, see what it is. So we don't check the other ones because they don't happen with regularity. But if you sheft with a hot knife, we know it's going to make holes in the lungs. In the simanim. Or let's say you took it out after and you did check and you saw that it has a hole there. That would be no good. That would be an avela. But if you know that, you don't have any reason to assume it had one there before, but I'm shechting with a hot knife, which is going to make one as I'm going, so that would be a treifa. Yeah? You hear the difference? Okay, on to the next thing. So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barvua, Sakin Shalavodos Kachovim, Mutar Lishkaipo, you're allowed to sheft with a knife that was used for Avodos Kachovim, which even though it was used for Avodos Kachovim, is also in Hana. Well, Yidbak B'chal B'uma Min Acherim. You're not allowed to benefit at all with that which was used for Avodah Zarah. Doesn't Rashi quote it? Does he quote it? Abayit Habdunas Kol Mekomos. You're not allowed to benefit from anything that was used for Avodah Kachavim. So how am I allowed to use it for Shechita? You're allowed to shecht it, and therefore you're not allowed to use it Lachlich Parbasa. You're not allowed to use it as a steak knife, but you are allowed to use it for Shechita. Why? Lishchot Ba Mekalkehu. Because you're not benefiting at all, it's considered to be makalkel. Va'as alachtoch ba, it's destructive, it's not constructive. Va'as alachtoch ba basar misakinu, but you can't use it as a steak knife because that is constructive, right? I used a steak knife before it was inedible, now I use a steak knife, now it's edible. If I take it though to shecht an animal before I had a live animal, and I have a dead animal, that's makalkel. That's not constructive, that's destructive. So Amar Rava Pamim Shashrechet Aser. It could be sometimes also that Shechita will also be constructive. Bimisukenis. If the animal is old, not that it's a treifa, right? Then you can't eat the animal, but it's misukenis. It's an old animal. So I can shecht it. Then you can't shecht it with the knife of the Avodah Zarah because it's not going to last long anyway, alive. So I didn't take a live animal and make a dead one. This animal wasn't going to last too long anyway. It was already on its last legs. So if I shecht it, that's constructive, not destructive. That would be also mechatek mutter. And there could be situations where using it as a steak knife would be mutter. But atami de kaimin lekurva, if it's in a better shape, right? It's in the proper shape, and now I make it into a weird shape. That's destructive instead of constructive. Then if I use the knife in that situation, it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, how could you, one second, we're going to have to get to this tomorrow, but the Gemara says, how could you ever use this knife? Typically, mishum shamnunis. There's fat all over the knife. It's a dirty knife. And Rashi says, even if it's clean, if you're using it for hot, right, then I have to be afraid that there are, there's leftover flavors from the treif of food, from the treif of carbon, the pig carbon that they brought for to their deity. And now I'm going to take that and use it to cut my Jewish brisket. You can't do that. What about the shamnunis disur, either on the top of the knife, or Rashi even says embedded in the knife, which will come out if everything is hot. If everything is cold, it's not going to come out. Right? You cut cold pizza with a fleishik knife. Someone called me yesterday with that. Cold pizza with a fleishik knife. Yeah, that's all right. I mean, you shouldn't do it. You could wash it off, and everyone goes back to home base. That's all right. You're not supposed to use a knife or utensil of the wrong gender for the other gender, right? Milk and meat. But if you did, and everything was cold, all right. So we'll have to see. There's exceptions to that rule if we're dealing with a davar charif, like an onion or something else like that's hot that pulls out flavors even when things are cold. But generally speaking, you can wash it off when everyone will go home. But if it's hot, that'll pull the flavors out of the knife. Oh, yeah, yeah. So if it's hot here too, it'll pull the flavors out of the knife of Avodah Zarah, even if it is clean. But we have to be afraid maybe even the knife is not clean. So B'chadosha says, we're talking about a new knife. Chadosha, Ben the Rebbe Yishmael, Ben the Rebbe Kiva. Misham she'avodes kachavim heim, Misham she'avodes kachavim mein asun, ad she yavdu. If it's a new knife, how could you call it a knife of Avodah Zarah? It hasn't been used for Avodah Zarah, even though you set it aside for Avodah Zarah. It doesn't become prohibited in Anah until you actually use it. So Yibayis Eim, the Pasuk bar gavza, la'avodes kachavim. Maybe I used it to cut off the head of a chicken? No. For wood. I used it to cut wood for the Avodah Zarah. So that's what we're talking about, but I didn't cut it. You didn't cut meat. So even though it was used for Avodah Zarah, it was used for something that didn't have anything to do with Macholos Asuras, maybe it's an old knife, but Shalibna Ba'or, I kashered it in the fire. That's, we're going to have to discuss that. Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Maybe I kashered the knife. But let's get back to the beginning over here. Slow. We had a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah. You're permitted to shecht with it. Why? Mekalkehu. That's considered to be destructive. Shechting is destructive. We pay shechtim a lot of money. I would think it is constructive. Why is it destructive? Moreover, Taisus asks, but the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim that shechita is constructive. How do you know? Because on Shabbos, one is not chai for malacha that is destructive. You only chai for malacha that is constructive. Because the pasuk says in connection with Shabbos, in Parshas Vayakel, Meleches Machsheves, who does the Torah? The Torah says, with regards to Melechus HaMishkan, that it was thoughtful Melechus, Melechus Machsheves. And of course, the Mishkan is the paradigm from Melechus Shabbos. So in Shabbos too, it has to be Melechus Machsheves, thoughtful Melechus. What is implied by this Melechus Machsheves? We learn many principles. All the confusing principles of Shabbos are learned out from here. Because it has to be thoughtful for Melechus. So let's say I am... I'm doing a malacha, and I don't realize, but as an unintended consequence, I'm doing a permitted act, right? I don't know what I'm doing. I'm opening my front door, and I don't realize that by opening the front door, that might or might not trigger my alarm to go off. That's not my intention. My intention is to open the front door. That's permitted. You can open doors on Shabbos. But it might or might not. I don't know if the alarm is set or the alarm isn't set, so it might trigger the alarm. So that's a davar she'eino miskaven, which is permitted. If I don't know, you don't know. So then it should be permitted. Davar she'eino miskaven is permitted. Why is the davar she'eino miskaven permitted? It's actually a machlokes in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's aser, Rabbi Shimon holds it's mutter. Because meleches machsheves aser Torah. It's only prohibited if it's a thoughtful malacha. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. And it's certainly not my intention. So it's only an intentional malacha. If I didn't intend for it, that's permitted. Or a malacha shem tzvicha legufa, which we're going to get involved in a second. Malacha shem tzvicha legufa, typical case is we have a dead man in the room. Of a cadaver in here. The cadaver, we want to get out because it stinks. But outside, there's no Erev, let's say. There happens to be an Erev in Washington Heights, but let's say in this part. But let's say there'd be no Erev. So I want to get him out the house. I don't want him out the house because I want him out the house. I don't want him in here because he stinks. So I'm carrying it out of the house, but I don't need it outside. I just don't want it here. So The Gemara calls that a malacha she'ain tzricha legufa. That's a malacha where I don't need the product of a malacha. That's not the same as davar she'ein miskaven. Davar she'ein miskaven is a malacha which has an unintended consequence, which is not my primary intention, right? And it's unintended consequence. If it happens every time, that's the psigreshe. That's also because you realize it's going to happen when you do it, because it happens every time. You can't say, I didn't intend for the light to turn on the refrigerator when it turns on every time you open the door. If I don't know if someone put tape over it, now it just became a davar she'ein miskaven. But if I know it happens every time, that's a psigreshe, that's also a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, it's a malacha, which I'm doing, and I know what I'm doing, but I don't need the product of malacha, I just don't want this here. Let's say I dig a pit, but I don't need the pit, I just want the dirt. So malacha on Shabbos is the pit, because you're over mishum choifer, you're plowing the ground, but I don't need the plowing, I'm not planting anything there, I just need dirt. So if I need I dig a pit, but I don't need the pit, so that's doing malacha where I don't need the product of malacha, that's malacha she'ein tzricha legufa. That's also, according, we're going to see it in a second, is a machlekes, we paskin is mutter, why? We paskin sasa midrabanan. Why isn't it also midrashah? The answer is because it's not an intentional malacha. I don't need the product of malacha. That's not considered to be thoughtful. All right, so whenever it's not a thoughtful malacha, an intentional malacha, that's not maleches masheves, and it's either asim midrabanan or mutter on Shabbos. So another halacha that's learned out of this concept, same pasuk, is makalkel. If I do something on Shabbos that's entirely destructive, I destroy the potato chip bag as I'm getting out the potato chips. That's makalkel. Makalkel is permitted, as long as it's destructive. If it's constructive, that's a thoughtful and intentional malacha. If it's destructive, makalkel, that is permitted, or asur midrabanan on Shabbos. Yet, at the same time, the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim over here, Ayin Gimel Me'alav, HaShoicheid Chatos B'Shabbos. A person shechts a carbon on Shabbos, B'chutz L'Avad Zohar. So what happens? I have a guy dedicates a carbon chatos for the Beis HaMikdash. Not only do I not shecht it in the Beis HaMikdash, which is already one Iser, every carbon has to be shecht in the Beis HaMikdash. If you shecht it outside, it's called Shchutei Chutz. You're not allowed to do that. And you can't take chulin, by the way. Empire can't shecht it. We want to make a Beis HaMikdash day and start shechting chulin in the Azara. You're not allowed to shecht chulin b'Azara. You're not allowed to shecht kachin b'chutz. You can't. You have to keep the Kodesh in the Kodesh. And the chol and the chol. Right? Just like our yeshiva. The kodesh is the kodesh, the chol is the chol. Can't mix and match. Chul and bazar is no good, kodesh and bachutz is also no good. Fine. So let's say I have a carbon, I shecht it outside. That's one avera. Number two, I did it on Shabbos. So you're allowed to bring certain karbanos on Shabbos, but that's only if you do it properly. You do it in the wrong way, you violated Shabbos because of the tigos and the shama. What's the third one? I shechted the carbon, lavay de zara. Oy, oy, oy. Okay, so you have three. Sigmar says, 1 minute, how can you chai for the Shabbos one? It's makalkel. On Shabbos, you need malachas machshavas. It has to be thoughtful malacha. This is not thoughtful. This is like makalkel. Sigmar says, no, I'm Rabbi Yaviyah, Shemar Yitzhiyah, Midei Eber Menachai. It is masakin. Because before, if you would have eaten it, it would have been Eber Menachai. Now it's permitted. So how could our Gemara say, if I use a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah, I can use it to shecht chulin, because it's mekalkel. You're taking a very good animal, you're making it dead. That's destructive, not constructive. The Gemara says, you're chayv on Shabbos if you do it. Obviously, it's constructive. The Gemara says, matikein, yachmeh David menachah. That's Tosis kasha. So, chayv, let's see Tosis. Tosis says, mutar lishkoit ba mekalkel, af agav desoif perek elu dvarim, bibsach emichayev lenin Shabbos. Even though, with regards to this very same situation, if you shecht on Shabbos, we say that it's considered to be misakin. Then in Shabbos, got b'sheicha b'Shabbos b'chutz l'avedis kachavim mishum tikkun koldehu. It is misakin the animal. There on Shabbos is enough with the tikkun koldehu. The tikkun lo tziyam midei ever menachai, because you removed it from being ever menachai. If you would have eaten from the animal before shechita, it would be ever menachai. So shiny Shabbos says Tosfos the malechas machshavas asur tayra. Malechas machshavas is the reason why makalkel is potter. Bekevin Sheyesh, it says it by the Mishkan, but we derive from there that all the malachas on Shabbos are patterned after the Mishkan. The activities we're using in the building of the Mishkan are what is prohibited on Shabbos. If the Mishkan was malachas machshavas, that's only what's prohibited on Shabbos. Bekevin Sheyesh tikkun purta, kashim malachas machshavas. Since there is some tikkun, it's considered to be malachas machshavas. So, kach niskaven, that's what your intention is for. therefore it's prohibited. Even though you're right, it is more destructive than constructive. But since there is an element that is constructive, that's enough. But if we're discussing benefiting from avodas chachamim, there we don't look at was there any constructive element here. We look at the sum total, or the right, the gross, not the gross, the net. I'm not in sins. Gross is what I get. Everything net is minus my expenses. So over here, there was some benefit, but it was far outweighed by the losses. The animal is way more valuable alive than it is dead. So your yatzeskar beb sedo, because I lost more than I gained. So when it comes to the benefiting from avodah zarah, it's decided, it's determined based on the net total benefit. When it comes to hilchos Shabbos, if there's any element that I benefited at all, we can label that as a constructive act, and it is asar on Shabbos. However, we hear the difference between Shabbos and Easter hanoah from avodah zarah. The Ramban says a similar thing over here in Chulin. Says the Ramban, "Is Gimel Okasha the Gabi Shabbos Melechez Marsheves Asur Torah? V'lo Patra Al Mekalkel Gomer Shein Bo Marsheva. The only time it's prohibited is if it's Melechez Marsheves, which is entirely destructive. If there's any constructive element at all, Yechai for Shabbos. Hami Kevin Shachashav Alal Lashum Tikum V'Shach Tavi Tikum V'Gufin Shal Behem Elamidi. As long as there's some constructive element, I can label it as a constructive act. Av Agabi Avodah Zarah Hana Aser Achmana. There it was Hana, which is prohibited. V'Halekal Agabi Gavra Shehrei Kilkul Yesem Yemenu Shatikin. I destroyed more than I benefited. Taisus and Shabbos is a different answer to this kasha. This Gemara and Shabbos is a complicated Gemara, but you have to know it though. It's an important Gemara. I told you this used to be the smicha test. This very Gemara was what they used to ask all the smicha guys on. It's a complicated Gemara because you have to understand Malachas Moachshin Tzvikulukuf for Darvishin Miskavin. Anyway, but the Gemara says the following. It's really not so difficult. The Gemara says the following: Koha Mekalkam Pturin. If you do something that's destructive on Shabbos, you're potter. But Tani Rabbi Avo Kamed Rabbi Yochanan Kol Mekalkin Peturin or Mekalkin Apata. What? Bechutz Mechayv Olamavir. No, there's an exception to that rule. So it's a contradiction. The earlier statement was Kol Mekalkin Peturin, but then we have another brisa that says Bechutz Mechayv Olamavir, with the exception of wounding and kindling. You know why? Why, Chevra? Why should always destructive acts be Peturin on Shabbos except these two? Why should these two stand out? Because they are always destructive. And yet they're part of Olam HaTesavos Malachos. Can you ever have a constructive wounding? Can you ever have a constructive kindling? You're burning. It's a destructive act by nature. So if these are destructive acts, and nonetheless they're included in Olam HaTesavos Malachos, must be that they're included even though they are destructive. Amalei Peik Tani Lebra. Who told you that? Chayv Umavir, ain't no Mishnah. No, Chayv Umavir the same. That if it's Mekalkel, it's Potter. V'imtim say Lema Mishnah, if you want to say that they are Chayv, well, even though they're destructive, that's only if there's some element that is constructive. It's only if I do wounding because my dog likes to drink the blood. Strange. Okay. Vampire dog. Or if I do kindling because I need the ash for something. But if you literally don't need it for anything, no. That statement disagrees with Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Avo said, Chav Omavir always chav, even though it's Mekalka. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, and he says, no. That's only if there's some tikkun. If there's no tikkun, then you're not chav at all. But 1 minute, it's against the Mishnah either way, Va'an Tanakh, Ho Mekalkim Turin. Every Mekalkil is Potter. Every Mekalkil is Potter. Including Chav Omavir. So Gemara says, Masnis and Rabbi Yehuda, Bryce and Rabbi Shimon. The Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda, the Bryce is following Rabbi Shimon. Rashi there tells you, what Rabbi Shimon, what Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara never says. Who Rabbi Shimon, who Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara never says. So Rashi says, it means the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLagufa. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds, if I bring the mace outside, Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLagufa is Chayev. The Rabbi Shimon holds, Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLagufa is Pater. In order to be Chayev and Shabbos, you have to need the product of the Malach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even if you don't need the product of the Malach, you're Chayev. How does one connect it to the other? So the Gemara says the following. My time, The Rebbe Shimon, the Itzra Kar Lamishri Mila Hachayv Baal Machay. From the fact that the Torah needs a pasuk to tell me that Mila on Shabbos is aser, why Mila is wounding, right? And yet the pasuk says Bayom Hashmini Imo B'Sar Alasa Bayom Hashmini. Even if it turns out on Shabbos you're out to violate Shabbos for Mila, what's the malacha in Mila? It's destructive. It's not constructive. Must be Chayv Alas Chayiv, even if it is destructive. Ah, that's why I needed a pasuk. Midas Rachman Havar, Nami Baskoin. The Torah says you're not allowed to put a Baskoin to death on Shabbos. Why? Kindling is always destructive. Yet I needed a pasuk to tell me it's mutter. Must be kindling, even though it's destructive. It's chayv. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Hasam is sakin hu. Kedar Ravashi. Dam Ravashi. Mali lesakin milo. Mali lesakin kli. Mali vashu ksiu. Mali vashu samonim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, see if you hold melachah shein tukul gufa is chayv ever. Could you ever have an act of kindling or an act of wounding that is constructive? Of course. Where could I have an act of kindling or wounding that is destructive? Mila. Mila is constructive. Why is Mila constructive? I healed the baby. Did I need... how did I heal the baby? I made it, I made it gemalt, as we'd say in Yiddish, right? He's already circumcised. Do I need the arla cut off? No. But according to Yehuda, you don't have to need the product of the malacha in order to be chayiv. So according to Ksi Chevra, the Torah says Mila is permitted on Shabbos. That implies that there's a malacha there. And what else do we have? Sreifas bas koyin. Burning the bas koyin, administering Mises Bezdin, is mutar on Shabbos. Xeris HaKosav. What do I need Xeris HaKosav for? What do I need Xeris HaKosav for? So Yehuda will tell you, you need Xeris HaKosav for, because this is a tikkun. What's the tikkun? Isn't that Makalkel? Because here, I'm burning the Bas Koyin. That's a good thing. I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Misas Bezdin. I don't need the burning lead itself. According to Yehuda, who holds Malacha Shein Tikkun Leguf Eschayiv, you don't have to need the product of the Malacha as long as I derive some benefit, right? I don't need the mace outside, but I don't want him here. If I take him outside, according to Yehuda, you're Chayiv. I don't need the mace outside. It doesn't matter. You accomplish some productive task. That's called Mesakin. That's called Tikkun. Malach Shein Tikkun Leguf Eschayiv. So to Mila, I don't need the Arla cut off. Yeah, but you circumcise the baby. That's called a Tikkun, because if Yehuda holds Malach Shein Tikkun Leguf Eschayiv, meaning that's also a Tikkun. Malach Shein Tikkun Leguf is also a Tikkun. So Mila is a Tikkun. So if it's Baskan is a Tikkun, even though I don't need the product of Malacha. But according to Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, you need to have the product of Malacha to call it a tikkun. A side tikkun is not a tikkun. The fact that I got the mace out of the house is not a tikkun. It's only a tikkun if I need the item that I'm being masakin. If I'm being masakin the item I'm dealing with. So why do I have a meal? Why do I need a pasuk telling me Shreifas Bas Koyin and Shabbos is mutter? Either way, it's Malacha Shein Tikkun Leguf. I don't need the hot lead. I just need to burn the, fulfill Mises Bezdin. I don't need the harla. I just need to circumcise the baby. So I don't need the product of that which I'm doing. I don't need the wound. I just need to have the baby circumcised. So according to Reb Shimon, we derive from here that Chayvel and Mavir are always Chayv on Shabbos. Chayv b'kilkul. Chayv b'makalkul. That's the Gemara.
So Taisus
Eis and that Gemara, according to Reb Yehuda, right? Okay, so what emerges? According to Reb Shimon, you're always Chayv for Chayvel Mavir, even though it's makalkul. According to Reb Shimon, you're not Chayv for Chayvel Mavir unless there's some side tikkun, like Mila. Or Misa's Bezdin. So ask Tosis over there about Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you need some tikkun, how you ever chayv for Shochet on Shabbos. See, according to Rabbi Shimon, chayv is always chayv on Shabbos. Because even though you're makalkel, you're chayv. This is one of the exceptions, because every chayv on Shabbos is makalkel. But Rabbi Yehuda, apagav the kol shochet makalkel, who can amin be perakam de chulin. Even though Shkita is always considered to be Makalkel, Gabi Sak and Shah Vedizar, Mutter Lishkas, but Moedir Rabbi Hudalin in Shabbos the Chayiv. Here you are, Chayiv. Why? It's Makalkel, the Davke, the Indian of Vedizar, Choshe Makalkel. Only by Vedizar is it considered to be Makalkel. The Siv, Lo Yidwa, Bayalcham, and Uma, and Acherim, Lo Choshe Vainene. Came into Kaku, yes, or Tikuno. So first, Taisa says the Terrorist, Taisa says by us. Because over here it depends on some benefit, and over here, receive some, benefit. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's a net total benefit. And there, it was a net loss. But with regards to Shabbos, as long as there's one constructive aspect to it, that's you're already chayav. We could label it as a constructive act. But Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish, the Hadar Kosher, the Yehuda Mekalka, the Tzarech Lekalba, the Afro, the Pisha Eina Tikkun Ba, Ba'otah, Shah La'acha Mikan.
The reason why that's considered not considered a tikkun because it comes later on. See, whenever the tikkun comes together with the kilkul, that's considered to be mesakin. So I guess it's similar to the same answer. Whenever the tikkun and the kilkul come at the same time as the action, that's enough to label it. That's enough. Well, it's the same. I guess similar to Aratai. I thought it was different. Well, same as ours. Same as Aratai says. As long as there's one act, which is a tikkun. See, because according to Reb Shimon, you don't need all this. Because according to Reb Shimon, you're chayv for chayvul b'shabbos, even though it's makalkel. We only need this answer according to Reb Shimon, who holds that makalkel is who holds that chayvul mavir are potter if it's makalkel. Then you have to say that, I guess, since there's some constructive aspect here to it, you're chayv on Shabbos, as opposed to have a desire, it depends on net benefit. Okay, chaver, that's that issue. How could it be makalkel? Over here by the Avodah Zarah, but it's chayv on Shabbos. So we said, yeah, but there's one aspect on Shabbos which is constructive. Here, though, it depends on what is your sum benefit, and here your sum benefit is negative, not positive. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger has an important kasha here. When is it also to shecht with a knife of Avodah Zarah? What did Gemara say? If it's a mesukenes, if the animal is on its last legs, then you are benefiting. Then you are benefiting. So answer Rabbi Akiva Eger the following question. Because the Gemara says in Masechta Tmura the following. Amar Abaye, look over here, Dalam Abayz, Masechta Tmura. Kol milsa d'amar achmano goy savid. Every time the Torah says not to do something, im avid mahani, let's say I did it. Is it effective or is it not effective? The Torah says, give a million examples of this. The Torah says, that's an example of something the Torah says don't do, and if I did it, the Torah says don't marry a grusha, if you're a kain. And you marry her. Is the marriage chal or the marriage nachal? Well, you'll say, how do you ever receive malchus? How do you ever get malchus if the marriage is never chal? The Torah says don't do it. If I do it, is the marriage chal? So one opinion is, imavin mahani, it's machlek zabai and rava, this takes up the first four daf over there in Tamura from daf Dawatai daf Ches. So the one opinion is, the opinion of Abaye is, Imavid Mahani. If you did it, the Kiddushin is Chal. The Yisal Kedaitach Lo Mahani, if you're going to say it's not Chal, am I lucky? Why do you get Malchus? Right? Otherwise, how do you ever give Malchus to the Kohen who marries the Grusha if the marriage isn't Chal? Must be it is Chal. Rava Amar Lo Mahani. No. It's not, the Kiddushin doesn't take effect. You get Malchus for violating the Ratzon Hashem. But in fact, the marriage doesn't take place. It happens to be by the Kohen and the Grusha, the marriage does take place. But we typically paskin like Rava. Whenever there's a Machlek Zabai and Rava, we always paskin like Rava with the exception of, have anybody know, when do we paskin like Abai? Yal Kagam. It's Yud, Ayin, Lamed, Kuv, Gimel, Mem. There's six examples. It's Machlek, Rashi, and Tosis. What are the Yal Kagam? We passing Gabai in six cases, that's it. Otherwise, we always passing like Rava. So we passing in Yavid Loi Mahani. If you violate that which the Torah says, it's not effective. Why do you receive Malchus for trying to? So the answer B'Kiva Eger in his comments on Shulchan Aruch Kashuli. Name a Kevan Da'asar Lehanos. Since you're not allowed to benefit from the knife of an Avodah Zarah, how is the Shechita ever valid? Da'asar Lehanos, Havi B'Klal Lo Savid. You're not supposed to do it. So he said, well, it's destructive. But you're not supposed to benefit at all. We should say that, let's say by the mesukenes, right? Which is asr. But what's the psak in the end of the day? Is the animal kosher? Is the animal treif? We'd say that the animal is kosher. We shechted properly. You're not supposed to do it, right? But the shechita seems to be kosher. Does the Gemara say that? It's asr to do it, but the shechita would be kosher. But how could the shechita be kosher? If you're not allowed to do it, we should say, so every time you shecht in a forbidden knife, which you're prohibited from benefiting from, how could the shechita ever be good? We should say, whenever the Torah says not to do something, even if you did it, that which you did is not valid. That's the kasha of Akiva Eger. We have a similar question. We had a Mishnah later on, if you remember, the Mishnah says, what's the halacha if you shecht on Shabbos? Is the shechita good or no good?
Anybody remember? Daf Yudal Amud Aleph. That returns to Yudal Amud Aleph. Hashoyech et b'Shabbos v'yom et Kippurim. Afa pish mischayv bish nafsha shkitos v'ksheira. Even though it's prohibited, the shkita is kasha. Why? Answer B'kiva Eger over there too in the Kiddushim on Daf Yudal Amud Aleph. Why don't we say Kohech Adam Rachmano, Kamus Adam Rachmano Goy Savadi Yavid Loi Mahani. Every time the Torah says not to do something, Machlokes Abaye and Rabban call it a kula. Whenever the Torah says not to do something, and I did it anyways, a chal. So Abaye holds yes. Otherwise, what are you getting malchus for? Rabba holds no. You're getting malchus for trying. How's the shkita good then over here? According to Rabba, I avid loy mahani. If you did, you violated the Ratzon Hashem. It's not chal. It doesn't take effect. Then why is the shkita that I performed on Shabbos good? If I use a knife of Avodah Zarah, why is the shkita that I performed good? You're not supposed to benefit from a knife of an Avodah Zarah. It should never be good. Yavid loy mehani. That's what B'Kiva Eger's kasha. So many explain now that there's a B'Kiva Eger is misapplying this concept, if we can say such a thing. Why? Because the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains over here in the Kovetz Ha'aretz, he says no. The only time we say Yavid loy mehani is, let's say, I married someone I'm not supposed to marry. So, I can't create marriage, right? I can say a language of marriage, but then the Torah has a institution of marriage, which I'm evoking, which I'm tapping into, right? I say to the Harei Mekudeshesli, and then that magically evokes the powers of Nisuin, and they apply to this scenario. But it's not a reality, that's a legality. So when it comes to legalities, we can say, I'avid lo mahani. If you did that which you weren't supposed to do, it doesn't take effect. If I try and switch the kedusha of one animal onto another when I'm not supposed to do it, it doesn't take effect. Because the Torah won't, Torah's laws won't operate if it's against the rules. But let's say it's not a legality which is a rules of the Torah applying. It's a reality. And there's certain halakhas that depend on reality that don't depend on legalities. So shkita, argues Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, is not a legality that it becomes permitted, it's a reality. If I shech the two simanim, that's not because the Torah comes and permits the animal, that is permitted as a reality. It was shechted properly. So look, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains over here in Kovetz Ha'aretz, Oyd yesh nafkamina harbi mizeh, kegon de i'avid lo mahani. When we apply the rule of i'avid lo mahani, the Torah says not to do something, it doesn't take effect, lo shaykh ha'klala, lehecha shadin nifoy de koyach ha'adam. If I'm a woman I'm not supposed to, or tarmina yafa, I take truma off of the inferior produce onto the superior produce, or I divorce a woman against her, against her will, or something like where the Torah says not to do something, and then I did it anyway. Shechita is not a legality that I'm evoking; it's a reality. It happens by itself. If I shech the two simanim, it's permitted no matter what. So lo shayach ha lomar yavad lo mahani. Right? No one's going to say, if you didn't turn on a light on Shabbos, you're not allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos. If I did it, the light's not on. Yeah. Doesn't make sense. The light's on, right? You're not allowed to kill somebody if you did it. So halachically, he's dead midor raisa, not midor rabbanon. You can't have dead midor raisa alive midor rabbanon. These things don't make any sense. The Torah says not to do it, yes, but if you did it, it's a reality. It's not a legality. So whenever you do something that's a reality, it happens no matter what. So to argue Rabbi Chanan, the heter shkita is not a... We could have viewed the heter shkita as a legality, but what he argues, no, that it's a reality. It happens all by itself. It's not like kiddushin I need to evoke, and I need the Torah to instill the holiness of marriage here, or the institution of marriage in this couple. This happens by itself. When you shech the two simanim, it becomes submitted. So if I shech on Shabbos, even though when the Torah says not to do something and I do it anyway, it doesn't take effect. The Yavad Lomahani, that's only by legality. This is a reality. It happens no matter what. So too the shechita with a knife that belongs to Avodah Zarah, even if it's misukenes, where I am benefiting from that which I did, the animal will be permitted in the end. And it's not destructive. It's constructive. It doesn't matter. It's a reality, not a legality, and it happens all by itself. There's one other side issue over here, and that's raised by the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor here asks, how come the Rif never brings this halacha? He says, you're allowed to use a knife of this kachavim because it's destructive, not constructive. He says, gamzu lo hiskira harif. The Rif never brought it up. Why not? All right, good question. So Yaakov Emden writes in the Crazy Uplacy the following. Here's a commentary on Yoredeya called the Crazy Uplacy. Yaakov Emden. So if Yaakov Emden writes, there's a commentary called Crazy, and there's a commentary called Placey. I don't know one. Anyway, commentary on Shulchan Aruch here. So says the Placey over here, he says, V'zeh yesh liyashiv divrei harif. I'll tell you why the Rif doesn't bring it. Because we have a concept in the Gemara called mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu. A mitzvah is not given for beneficial purposes. So for example, I say, I don't like you. So I say, I don't want any hana from anything that you have. We get into a dispute in shul. That's it. But then I say, oh, yeah, you know, I would love to go swimming in your pool come the summertime. It's the wintertime now. Then you're in the bungalow. We're in the bungalow together. You know, can I use your pool? No, you can't use the guy's pool. You said you don't want to get hana from him. You took a nether, fine. What if you have a mikvah? I go to the mikvah every Erev Shabbos. Can I use your mikvah on Erev Shabbos? Mor says, yes. You can use his mikvah in the wintertime. Well, I can use his mikvah in the wintertime? Mitzvah slav lehanas nenu. Even though I was mudar hana from you, I took a nether, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's nothing to do with a mitzvah. Mitzvah is not called hana. Or the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Ches, let's say I have a shofar shel oila, shofar shel chatos, which I'm not allowed to benefit from. Can I use the horn as a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? The Gemara says, yes. Mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu. A mitzvah is not considered to be hana. So at a minimum, what this means is the reward for a mitzvah is not hana. Right? The mitzvah itself is not considered to be benefit. Some Rishonim take it even further. And they say, even if it's in the summertime, there the Gemara says you can't use the guy's mikvah because I enjoy the water. Some Rishonim say, it doesn't mean that you're enjoying the water as you go in. Some Rishonim say, no, mitzvah lav lehanas nitnu, all it means is the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana. No, the mitzvah is not a hana. But you can't enjoy the hot water, the cold water in the middle of the summertime. You're schwitzing after the softball game in the bungalow and I want to jump into your mikvah. Say, yes, I have the minute to go every Friday, but I also get hana from the fact that I'm cooling off. So that you can't do. Hana, the mitzvah is not a mitzvah. You know, it's not considered hana, but enjoying the cold water is hana. Some Rishonim say, no, even the cold water at the time that you're going for the mikvah is okay. The problem is you're going to sit and do the backstroke after you're done. You benefit after the mitzvah is over. That's the problem. So you can't use the guy's mikvah in the summertime. You can use it in the wintertime. There you don't enjoy the water at all. It would be permitted. So a mitzvah is not considered to be benefit. So too says the crazy placey. Now I know why the Rif didn't bring this halacha. Why did the Rif bring this halacha? He never brought the halacha of a sakin shel avodah zarah. It's always permitted to use a sakin of avodah zarah, even if it's a misukenes. The Gemara says if it's a misukenes, you're benefiting. You're not allowed to use a knife, right? If it's a healthy animal, you lose more than you benefit. It's kokulo yeser tikuno. So then it's permitted. If it's an unhealthy animal, it's a misukenes, you can't use the knife of avodah zarah because you're benefiting. The Rif says, no, it's always mutter. Mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu. Shechita is a mitzvah, and therefore mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu. That's not called benefiting. That's no different than I take a nether hana, I don't want to have any hana from you, and I use your mikvah in the wintertime. I don't get any hana here from performing the mitzvah of shechita. It's a halach in the Torah. You have to perform the mitzvah of shechita. That's not called benefiting. If I use your steak knife, that would be called benefiting. This, I'm just doing it to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah, of Shechita. Mitzvah, slav lehanas nitnu. So it says the place, see, that's why the Rif never brought this halacha. V'zeh yesh liyashiv divrei Rif, the hishmit kol member besakin shel avodah zarah, because mitzvah, slav lehanas nitnu. U'fima shekasapti necha, disfir lei hach asi kodem chazar esrava, u'sfir lei mitzvah, slav lehanas nitnu. U'fima dekamil, slav lehanas nitnu, lesa lechol dvarav. This whole halacha only makes sense if you hold mitzvahs are lav lehanas nitnu. That's why he didn't bring this whole halacha. If Zayya Shiyash Divrei Rif, why didn't he bring it? Because he holds mitzvahs lav lehanas nitnu. But according to what we hold, avof himad the kaimelon. Right, the whole Gemara is only following the opinion that holds mitzvah lehanas nitnu. So therefore, there is a benefit. because the mitzvah is considered to be a benefit. But the way we hold, Mrs. Lovely Honest knew, even if your animal is not healthy and you're benefiting, right, you're benefiting more than you're losing by shechting the animal, it would still be permitted because shechita can never be considered a benefit. Shechita can never be considered a benefit. Well, but we accept, we pass the Mrs. Lovely Honest knew, and we do bring this halacha. The Rif doesn't bring it. The problem is for us. We do have this halacha, even though we paskin, mitzvahs are lav lehanas nenu, right? A mitzvah is not considered to be a form of hana, but yet we do have this. The Rif left it out. So Rif, you could say, mitzvahs are lav lehanas nenu. That's not called a benefit. But we paskin, mitzvahs are lav lehanas nenu, and yet at the same time, we have this halacha that you're not allowed to use a knife of Avodah Zarah, at least when it comes to Mesukenes, where you're benefiting more than you're losing. Where you're benefiting more than you're losing. So why do we have this halacha? Indeed, if mitzvahs are lav lehanas nenu, and the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana, so then, and mitzvahs are not considered to be a hana, how do we have this halacha? If we pass a mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu, how do we have the halacha that Mesukenes is aser to use a knife of Avodah Zarah? Mitzvahs are lav lehanas nenu. Isn't the Rif right? The Rif never brought this halacha, but we do have this halacha, even though we pass a mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu. So it could be there's a third shot over here, what mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu means. It doesn't mean that the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana. The mitzvah is considered to be a hana. If you remember, we had before a different explanation what it means, mitzvahs lav lehanas nenu. One shot could be that it's lav lehanas nenu means that the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana. So if I go to the mikvah and you are mikvah, that's not considered to be a benefit. However, the Ritva in Masechta Sukkah had a different explanation to that concept. It doesn't mean that the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana. The mitzvah is a hana. Of course the mitzvah is a hana. I get to go to the mikvah. That's a hana. What it means is I'm not considered to be benefiting from your mikvah, from the item, because the hana comes from somewhere else. So look over here. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, Amar Rava, Lulav Shav Adazara Lo Yito Vimnato Kosher. You're not supposed to use a lulav of an Avodah Zarah, but if you did it, then it's kosher. So Ritva asks, why is it kosher? You are getting a reward, meaning that there is hana for the mitzvah. It's only considered to be hana if you would benefit from the item itself. That's not considered to be benefiting from the item itself. Right, so that's how you can use the mikvah. Bimosek shaman, kederach sha'amru, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, benoda hana mimayin shetova bo bimosek shaman, she'en onena beguf ha'mayim, you're not benefiting from the water itself, even though it benefits later because I was yotze tefillah there, but I didn't benefit from the item itself. It's considered to be indirect, even though the mitzvah is a hana, it's considered to be indirect, it doesn't stem from the item itself. So it's over here, I'm using the knife of Avodah Zarah. It might be considered to be indirect, and therefore, because of the concept of mitzvah, Salva Yohannes Nenu. All right, we'll have to pick up with this. Tomorrow, should we do Inyani Thanksgiving? Chukas Hakom and stuff? Huh?
That thing?
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't our chef rule that turkey's also?
You want to talk about that? Or should we talk about Chukas Hakom? Turkey or Chukas Hakom?
Chukas Hakom.
Turkey is its own shadow. You want to talk about turkey?